Okay, let's begin. Mishlei Shlomo and David Melech Yisrael. Okay, first word of the Sefer is Mishlei. Mishlei are parables, proverbs, mishalim, all different translations for the word a mashal. You know, I'll just tell you something very many years ago when I was I went to a course for rabbinic training, and they had sponsored by the National Council of Young Israel. Excellent course. They still give it, I believe. I don't know if they give it every year, but the way the program was then, I think today it's similar. Is every Thursday or every other Thursday there were two sessions. They would bring down rabbanim who were top in their field and their specialty, and each rabbi would make a presentation for about 2 hours, like a five-hour session. And in the middle, there was a break. They had served some refreshments. And so one of the rabbanim, his specialty, he was known to be a master darshan. And you know, everyone had their little thing. So this rabbi was talking about drushas and speaking and learning how a rabbi has to learn. The rabbi said, so you have to always renew yourself and be mechadesh. And if you find yourself, the day that you find yourself in your sermon saying over mishalim from the Duvna Magid, you know you're in trouble. They have rabbanim come in, right? YU probably replaced this. I don't think the training in YU was as strong then as is it now. Now YU became the center, reads for this. But it's interesting when we're starting to learn Mishlei, the entire Sefer is all about Mishalim. When you find yourself telling over Mishalim, then you know you're in trouble. Okay, but that was just a light matter. Now, there are a couple of important midrashim that serve as a hakdama. First of all, one of the midrashim in Yalkut Shmoini, in the beginning of Sefer Mishlei, tells us that Shlomo HaMelech, before he composed Mishlei, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, it's not for us to understand how that's seemingly possible. We know Moshe Rabbeinu did the same. Shlomo HaMelech, he wanted to come to a level of understanding, of knowledge, of Kedusha, Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlomo reached that level by imitating Moshe, by fasting 40 days, and right after he reached that level, he composed Sefer Mishlei. So Mishlei is not a simple matter. It's been composed with the greatest Chochmah that exists. No, it does not say. It only says it's concerning Mishlei. This is what... This is what it says. Now there's a pasuk in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim it says that Shlomo HaMelech composed 3,000 Mishalim. And the commentators point out the 3,000 Mishalim are to be found in Sefer Mishlei. The problem is, if the Medrash in fact takes note of this, that if you count the Mishalim in the 30 Parakim of Mishlei, you'll only come to at most 800. So what then does it mean? How does 800 turn into 3,000? And the answer they give is, it's also the very important lesson, is that there are many layers of interpretation. Each mashal is not meant to be one mashal. Each example given in Mishlei, each pasuk, each half a pasuk, is multiple mashalim. Some have two, some have three meanings. And this is all based on a pasuk. That's one thing when you have a pasuk in Chumash, so you can interpret it one way, you can interpret another way, and you can argue that there's only one shot. You can argue how many layers of interpretation are there. But here we actually have a pasuk telling us in Melachim, when Shlomo HaMelech died at the end of his life and describes his accomplishments, it says he composed 3,000 Mishalim. And that refers to Sefer Mishlei. And there's no way to make 3,000 unless you learn al derech pshat, that each pasuk is subject to multiple interpretations, multiple ideas. Now, one of the first midrashim on this sefer, okay, I'm going to be using primarily the Oitzah midrashim. This screen sefer, it's a compilation of many midrashim. I really have charata. I think instead of getting this edition, like I got over here, I probably should have got. It's a little more expensive. It's like double the price, but probably would have been better. I should have gotten for everyone one of these. We'll see. Time will tell if that was a poor choice on my behalf of getting the other. But over here, he brings down a very beautiful medrash. This medrash is quoted by a number of swarm in the Hagdama. What is a mashal? What exactly is a parable? So we have two mishalim to explain the koyach of a mashal. A mashal for a mashal. The Medrash in Shir Hashirim says, mashal l'madah v'daymeh, to a person that has in his possession a precious stone. And the stone is priceless. Cannot give value to the stone. And a person is in need of giving the stone, protecting it, giving the stone to someone, whatever the situation is, he's in need. But it's in the middle of the night and it's pitch black dark. So how is he to find, to discover, to recover this precious stone? So what does he do? He takes a piece of cloth, a piece of shmata, a seal, a wick, something which doesn't even cost less than a penny, and he ignites it. And by igniting it, it provides just enough illumination in the room so that he can see where he put that precious stone. So what's the nimshal for the mashal, is that in the psukim, in each pasuk, there are ideas, there are concepts that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring out that are priceless, cannot be fathomed. The light of Torah, it's priceless. It's infinite, the wisdom. But sometimes, in order to bring out these concepts, you have to dress it and package it in mishalim. In simple things, making up stories, parables. Talk about a beggar, talk about a woman, talk about a robber, you talk about a bump in the road. Take things, those things relative to the lesson that it expresses is like a wick, which is not even worth one penny, relative to the lesson which is represented by the precious stone that is priceless. So this is a mashal for a mashal. This, in fact, is the first, this Mishnah he has probably, who knows, thousands, hundreds of Midrashim, and this is the first one which he selected to bring out, a mashal for a mashal. There's another very popular mashal that I've seen in many, this is in a number of Swarm, as in the Hadamah to Mishnah, it's something very similar. They ask the same question, what is the value of a mashal? And the example they give is of a well. If you have a community, and the community is there's a drought, and they are in desperate need of water, and someone discovers a well, an incredible well with delicious, cold, healthy water. Problem is, the water is very, very deep, and no one is able to benefit from the water. No one can climb down to such a depth. So what does a person do? He goes and he asks everyone to take from their garment, give me a little thread. Everyone, he collects small little ropes, little threads, and the Chacham, he ties the little threads one to another until he creates a makeshift rope that's very, very long, and he attaches it to the bucket, and he lowers the bucket, and he draws water from the bucket. So here, the water that is all the way down, deep in the earth, is symbolic of the infinite Chachma of Torah. How you call it? Samei l'chu l'mayim, it's the Koich of Torah. But sometimes, in order to bring out that Chachma, you need to make use of shmatas. You need to go take a little piece of cloth that's lying on the floor here, a little piece of shmat here, a little shmat there, and tie all these shmatas together to create a rope which you could extract the delicious, life-giving, healthy water. That's the mashal for the mashal.
Yes, the mashal is a very nice mashal for a bismedrash or a Talmud Chacham, because more than he is becomes a Chacham from him, he gets more from the... So when you lower a bucket into the well, you think that the bucket is the most important. It's not. It's the rope that's made out of all these little people. Without that, the bucket is worthless.
Absolutely.
But we are the most important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. No, Chas HaShalom. The Olam here is such...
The wives are the most important.
The Olam here is such a Chashav Olam. It's incredible who we have here. We have such Chashav people here. Okay, so these are two Mishalim. These are the two Mishalim that serve as the Hagdama. Now, I was trying to think last night, there must be a difference. You know, every time you have two, I used to work in marketing. I still do work in marketing, and they always tell you marketing, when you have an advertisement, especially when you do online marketing, you always have to have two different ads, because one will for sure do better than the other. If you only have one ad, one advertisement, So, okay, so it does what it does. But if you have two, and you track, one is going to do better than the other. So then you'll, at the, when the day is over, you'll go with one. If you have three, four, the more you have...
The other one, one will do worse than the other.
So the one that's worse, you're going to drop out. Okay, you're going to drop out.
Yeah. If it doesn't get any response, then
telemarketer. Telemarketer, okay. But that is not tell. This is like in magazines or online. You present. You have different techniques of presenting information and trying to draw in clients. One advertisement will always succeed more than the other. So you have two mishalim. Obviously, each of these two mishalim represents these different concepts. So the mashal with the. I have to just would come back at some point in time to understand that. Each of these two mishalim to explain what a mashal is, what a parable for a parable, what each one is a different mahalach, represents a different dimension what Shlomo HaMelech is trying to accomplish. Okay, I just want to repeat a very beautiful word of Rabbi Mayevsky. You'll help me out with what Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned yesterday, that the Shlomo HaMelech, he composed three books as part of a series. See, we look at Mishlei, it's not a standalone sefer. Mishlei goes together with Shir HaShirim and with Koheles. Each one, in fact, begins with Shlomo, a different name. Here we begin with Mishlei Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael, Shir HaShirim Yashir HaShirim Asher Lishlomo. We just mentioned Shlomo, we don't mention David, we don't mention Malchus, and then we have Divrei Koheles ben David Melech B'Yerushalayim. That's similar to Mishlei, but instead of using the name Shlomo, we have a new name for Shlomo, whose name is Koheles ben David Melech B'Yerushalayim. So there are three psalms. So the Medrash tells us that that Shlomo composed these three svarim, part of a set, but at different points in his life. Shir HaShirim was composed when he was young, when he was idealistic. When a person is young, they're very idealistic. And that's why it says Shir HaShirim Asher Lishlomo. Lishlomo, he was trying at that point when he was young to go out on a path to make a name for himself. Mishlei was composed at middle age. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what middle age means. Doesn't mean Shlomo lived to the age 52. So what does middle age mean? But it means he was in the prime. He was in the prime of his life. So when a person after he married his wife, that's cool. You're not called middle age until you marry. Okay. You married, so this is.
He became king. He was 12, right?
Yes.
Let's say he wrote Shir HaShirim before he was 12.
Okay, we don't know exactly when he wrote either of the svarim, but he. It's a different perspective. A person thinks. A person's values are different when one is middle aged relative to his youth. When you're young, you are extreme at times, or you are very idealistic. You're not realistic. You don't know the way the world works. Middle age is a whole different kufa. And the last book, Koheles, was written b'sof chayiv, at the end of his life. Different perspectives. So Mayevsky elaborated, that's why Koheles, it says, Divrei Koheles, Koheles is some expression of
compilation.
Sof dover hakol nishma. The end of his life, it's a different focus, a different look. You know, now we're holding Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is... You know, you look back, the year is over, you take inventory. At the end of something, you make a siyum, it's a whole different focus.
He realized he himself was nobody in particular. He himself.
He took away his name. His name was absent.
It was unimportant.
Shlomo's name doesn't appear. Koheles Ben, what am I? I'm just Ben David. I'm just another chain in the link of history. Melech B'Yerushalayim. My name is not, and it's not even worthy to mention my name. I'll have a new name, Koheles, which is a name which captures the concept of. Could be, Enechanami, yeah, it could very well be, even him. The Chocham, Mikola Adam, even he was disappointed. So what then is there left for us to say? And the middle, and this is the prime of his life. This is where all the action is taking place. Mishlei is the fullness of life in a person's betokfai, in the state of a person's life when he is in control. And that's why we have all three names. I'm Shlomo, I'm Ben David, I'm Melech Yisrael. Everything was going good for Shlomo at this point in time. The Medrash also seems to say that all three books were put in Geniza. All three books were not published immediately. They were, the Medrash makes it very clear, they were written, all three books. And they were put away in hiding. Well, that Yecheskel was putting, they want to put Yecheskel, but certain things, I think it's a different Chazal, or whatever it is. But these three books were not released to the public at the time they were printed, because they were not understood. The depth of the controversy. Some of the things that are said in these psukim are so controversial and so they're not with the hashkafa, what people want to hear. The world was not ready for it. It was only years later, could be even after he died, many years. Yeah, that's the Chazal says in the Anshei Knesses Hagadola, which we're dealing 1,000 years. Yeah. We're dealing probably close to 1,000 years from the time of Shlomo HaMelech when they finally resurrected. They finally took it out of the vault and said, you know something, this man Shlomo, he knew what he was talking about. It's kedai for us to revisit. People maybe were ready for it. It was kedai for them to now put it in. To put it part of the Choftal at Sifrei Tanakh, to be part of the canon.
The generations go downhill.
Niskadnu Hadoros. Well, that's a topic in and of itself. There are two different things. The generations, the Niskadnu Hadoros, but there are things that every generation improves upon the previous generation. It goes both ways. The Niskadnu Hadoros is just one dimension in time. There's another dimension in time where we're getting better. And we're learning from our past experience. And Mashiach will come after Klal Yisrael, as the collective Neshama of Klal Yisrael has experienced everything, and they have what to learn from, what to improve upon. So,
for example, the Maral.
Yeah.
The Maral, there was a whole tikkun where the Maral was not such a prime.
Until recently.
Right.
Very recently. All of a sudden,
right? Today, everything is
Maral. The whole world today is Maral. But Maral, when he was obscure, no one knew of him. Exactly.
Well, Maral, he writes on Haggadahs, he writes on history a little bit.
He was ahead of his time.
But today, it was Nischavish. It came out of
Absolutely. So the same exact thing was with Shlomo HaMelech. We have a precedent. Shlomo HaMelech, these books were not, the world was not ready for Shir HaShirim, for Mishlei, for
Well, it with what he, the way he lived his life at the end, all the things that it, like the Gemara says, and they needed Darshei Rishumos to rehabilitate his soul because he lost his Olam Haba.
They wanted to say that he lost his Olam Haba.
Maybe this is where it ends up.
He was not viewed. He did not die in a positive note. He did not. His malchus was never fully restored.
That's what the Gemara says. David couldn't get him.
He was also to some degree a sad figure because he was meant to be Melech HaMashiach, and he made some fatal mistakes which unfortunately like Eif, he also, the Mashiach did not come in his lifetime, and he was meant to be Melech HaMashiach. Okay, so
I wanted to point out they have on the Israeli radio, they have a program called Chochmas Shlomo.
Yeah.
And people phone in, they have problems, this and that and the other. So he tells them, mm-hmm. You should know that anybody that has a problem will find their answer in a Chochmah Shlomo.
Okay, Mishlei and Chalos. So you have here three books. These three books are part of a series. Even though two are the Megillos, even though Shir HaShirim and Koheles part of the Chumash Megillos, which is not on par with a Sefer Mishlei. Sefer Mishlei is Sefer. Yet these three in Chazal's view are grouped together. Now, in addition to being a series, these three being part of a series, there's another series. Mishlei is part of a series called MS, and that is stands for Eiv, as we learned, and then comes Mishlei, and then comes Tehillim, which means that these three Svarim also share a common thread. I do not know the depth of what this means, but there is a common thread that runs through.
That's
an example of how it manifests itself, but that's not the primary. That's not the primary connection. The fact that we have there's a special trop, and even the tamim. So the tamim that I'm sure you've noticed in the e of the tamim very different. There's a safe possible. I don't have the exact details, but one of the yisoides is that an esnachta is not the same as in these three svarim as it is in the other svarim. And a stacht in a regular sefer in Chumash and in the Vim and Ksuvim is like pretty much like a soif pasuk. It's a hard break. In Eiv, Tehillim, and Mishlei, an esnachta is not meant to be a hard break. you don't put the same emphasis of pause, of separation after an esnachta as you do in other svarim. That's common to these three books, the Sifrei Emes. But again, that's just an external manifestation of something that's much deeper, a deeper connection that these three books have in common. Eov, you know, okay. So that will come across as a little bit later on. Okay. What else did I want to mention? Okay, we'll start. Maybe there are a couple of things that I don't remember offhand. I had another pair of notes which I left at home. Let me just take a quick look. Okay, there is one other nice medish. Mishlei Shlomo ven David Melech Yisrael. There's one other medish. The medish says that Shlomo, everything that he did as an individual, this is a medrash, everything that as an individual, Shlomo, the person, was only done to give cover to his father. There's a procession. Shlomo, who am I? What is my tafkid? Ben David. I want that my accomplishments should shed light, should be an honor to my father. And everything that I do in honor of my father should only be to serve Klal Yisrael, Melech B'Yerushalayim. It's starting off by teaching a person a derech in life. A person should not try to put the limelight on himself. A person's life should be devoted first to his parents, to where he came from, as an individual. And any success that he achieves through giving cover to his father should then be channeled to be an honor for Klal Yisrael. Melech, he was a public figure, a public servant for Melech Yisrael, for the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, so let's start as far. Mishnah, we're going to do like we did last time. We're going to read every Mitzvah and every Rashi. And then again, we'll elaborate with some other ideas which I'll try to collect from other Svarim. I collected a number of Svarim. I'll tell you the Svarim that I collected so far. I have saved this for this. Of course, the Gra, the Perish HaGra, that's a classic. You can't learn Mishle without learning the Gra, everyone, and there are probably like 10 editions of the Gra with Nekudos and this parish and that parish and modern parish and an old parish, an addendum, the Talmidei HaGra. They have like 10 different editions of the Perish HaGra. Then there's another very, very famous parish, Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina is a very popular parish on the Gra. And then there is, I have over here, this is a collection, this is a modern, this is relatively new, this is probably not more than 10 years old. The Oitzah HaMidrashim, where the Mechaber here selected what he felt were the critical Midrashim, and he just put them here on the page. And then there's another Sefer, there's another collection of Midrashim, also done by someone recently. It's a little bit different, so that he has a different selection of Midrashim. It could be, they're just different. It's not the same. I think he probably has less, but he has a different selection. He has a commentary. He has a commentary on those Midrashim. He tries to actually tie and connect it into the Psukim. So maybe we'll come across some of those ideas. There's also so put together a very nice Likud from the Chofetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim very often in all of his svarim. Now Chavetz Chaim has many, many svarim, and Chavetz Chaim was a baki muflug in Tanakh, and every other maimer he's quoting a pasuk in Tanakh. He's quoting a pasuk in the Nevi'im and in Mishlei, and a lot of his works draw from Mishlei. So someone did us a very big favor. They took all of the Chavetz Chaim's beurim on Mishlei and put it in a very nice state. This was done very recently. So maybe we'll come across some of those things. The Art Scroll has a fantastic two volumes written by Rabbi Leizer Ginsberg. Someone told me a secret, I don't want to say this on tape, but his wife had a large part in this. But it appears to be very clear.
My wanted to talk to the Rebbetzin,
yes,
Ginsberg, about something in Mishlei. She said, talk to Mrs. Reisman.
To Mrs. Reisman?
Evidently she's teaching Mishlei lately.
Okay. But it's two volumes, and it's very, very good. It's very clear. Very clear. Okay. What else? Then there's the
Hirsch.
Shankful for Hirsch.
Right.
Okay. I was not aware of that. Thank you for telling me. And also there's the Mamlois. The Mamlois also is a classic on Sefer Mishlei. Okay, so as we go again, there's the Ibn Ezra, the Allah, the other on the Megillas Gedolos, as you have over here in the Siyav, over here in the Valim, you have the Ralbag, Ibn Ezra. There are the classics. We're going to focus primarily on the Mitzudos and Rashi, and then we'll try to draw from other things as well. Now, the first six psukim in Sefer Mishlei is a hakdama to Sefer Mishlei. Rashi makes it very clear, and the Mitzudos always pretty much follows in line with Rashi to some degree. The first six psukim is where Shlomo Melech is explaining his purpose, his tafkid, why he composed the Sefer Mishlei. The Sefer really begins with Pasuk Zayin. Okay, that's a very important. You said Pasuk Zayin is where it starts. Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. Just like we have David HaMelech, we say the first thing in davening, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The first thing you have to know is Yiras Hashem. That's really the true beginning of Sefer Mishlei. But until we get there, Shlomo HaMelech did us a favor and he told us in the first six psukim why his tafkid in composing Sefer Mishlei. Now it came to my mind another very important thing. The Sefer is really divided into three books. Okay, it begins with Mishlei. If you jump ahead to Perek Yud, Perek Yud is the second half of Sefer Mishlei. Beginning of Perek Yud, again, it starts with the word Mishlei. Mishlei Shlomo Bein Chacham Yisamach Of. And then the third Sefer, the third section of the book is in Perek Chof Hei. Okay, it's not 10, 10, there are 30 parakim. It's not 10, 10, and 10, but rather it's 10, 10, and 25. 1, 10, and 10, and 25 is also, it begins with the word Mishlei Gam Eile Mishlei Shlomo Asher Hetik Ranshe Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. Okay, so we have here Sefer Mishlei. It's important to take note, there are three separate mini-books in this larger collection. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know the exact details, but the first portion, I think, focuses on Chochmah. The first, second book focuses on Musar. And the third focuses on Torah. Each one has its own theme, its own agenda. First book, the first Teprakim, the theme is Chochmah. Of Chochmah, of course, includes Torah, but it's a different from a different angle. Okay, that said, let's begin. Mishlei Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael. We see over here the first the Mitzudos. Mishlei Ratzalaymar Elohim Hamashalim. The following are the parables. Asher Amar Shlomo Ki Es HaTorah Himshel Isha. He's really quoting from Rashi, and he this is Eisha Schal. Eisha Schal is the last parak, I believe. What? Lamed Aleph, it's the last parak of Mishlei. So he says, I guess what Mitzudos is trying to tell us, and Rashi really tells us, is that everything in this Sefer is a build-up. This is another idea, another concept. Everything here is a build-up to parak Lamed Aleph. That is where we're going. Like, in other words, just like we have the first six sukkim is a Hakdama too. Is a Hakdama to Pasuk Zayin. That's when we start. And then we start the first Sefer is a Hakdama to Pasuk, to the next Pasuk, to the next Perek, the next 10 Parakim. And the next 10 Parakim is going to be from Perek Yud until Perek Chafei is a build up to the third Sefer. And the third Sefer climaxes with Eish Eschayil. What is Eish Eschayil? The Mitzvah says, Ratzalayma Elohim HaMashalim HaShalom HaShlomo Ki Es HaTorah Himshel Isha. He compares the Torah to a woman, V'chein Lisha Toiva, to a good woman, V'chein B'roiv HaDvarim Ochas B'derech Mashal, and with regard to other matters, he made use of parables. Other examples are other Mashalim. So that's now that idea is not unique to what Rashi, what I'm telling you now is not unique to Rashi, and we'll read Rashi in a moment, and the Mitzudos, but it's even true on even a deeper level. Because we mentioned that in Sefer Melachim, when the Pasuk eulogizes Shlomo, it says that he composed 3,000 Mishalim. And the Medrash there says something fascinating. It says that it's 3,000 separate Mishalim. Each Mashal is part of a procession. Meaning Shlomo, he's the son, he wants to give a Mashal. He gave Mashal number one. Then he says, no, we can do better. We can refine it. Let's do Mashal number two. Mashal number two is a refinement of Mashal number one. Then he said, you know what, let's go further. Let's refine the Torah, the essence of the Torah, even more with mashal number 3. It's not 3,000 separate mashalim. Each mashal, this is what the Major says, each mashal is an outgrowth or a refinement, a later addition of what he was trying to say originally. If Shlomo was originally able to say it in a few words, he would have given us just one mashal, the very last mashal. But that's also a limud. You have to go through a process. Chachmah does not come instantly. Chachmah takes time to go through the process of learning. So everything is a process. And to some degree, Rashi is hinting to that by telling us, Saif Davar HaKol Nishma. He's already telling us the end of the Sefer in the very beginning of the Sefer. He's telling us that the Torah is compared to an Isha, and the Yetzirah is compared to a Zona, and once we have this mashal, this parable of a woman and a Zona, two things which we can relate to, then maybe we'll be able to gain a greater appreciation of the value of Torah and the Yetzirah. So Rashi says, come out the same exact thing, Mishlei kol dvarav dugmos u'mashalim, all of the words in this Sefer are examples, and u'mashalim, parables. And then Rashi gives an example, Moshel HaTorah, the Isha Toiva, the Torah is compared to a good woman. U'mashal, the Isha Zona, and he gave also a mashal of an Isha Zona. What? Okay, I don't have that in my edition. Okay, I'm sorry. In my edition, it's missing those words. And Avodah Zara is compared to maybe probably the sense, maybe you're taking that out because of whatever. But mashal be Isha Zona, and the Olskin mashal Isha Zona, referring to Avodah Zara, the Yetzirah, that is an Isha Zona. When you distill it in those words, then a person can have a great appreciation for these words. Okay, that Pasuk Beis, what's the purpose of this Sefer? The purpose is Lodas Chochma Umosar Lohavin Imravina. We're going to have over here many, many words in this first parak, in this whole sefer, in fact, which are extremely hard to separate. Chochma, Musar, Das, Bina, Tavuna, Seichel. Okay, then you're going to have different types of, then you have a Pesi, an Orum, a Nar, an Evil, a Tam, a Chacham, the Ksil. There are so many words. And all of these words on a very similar level really mean the same thing. But obviously there's a much depth, and we're not going to do it justice, but that's the struggle, that is the challenge of the Sefer, to differentiate between these different words, the synonyms, which really all seem to mean the same thing. So how does Torah literally means instruction? So Torah is not Chochmah, Torah means instruction. Das is wisdom, Chochmah is wisdom, Tvuna is wisdom, Bina is wisdom. What are the difference between Das, Chochmah, Bina, Tvuna, Torah? All of these things have a different connotation which we'll touch upon each according to each one of the commentators. The Gra very much enjoys trying to differentiate between these concepts, likes to split hairs. But it says the purpose of Mishlei of Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael, is for what purpose did I compose the Sefer? That a person should acquire Lodas Chochmah U'Musar. Chochmah means wisdom, U'Musar means Midos Tovos. That's how most of the commentators learn. Midos means refinement of character. Refine your character, discipline, Musa's chastisement. But what does it mean? It doesn't mean that a person should go fast. It means discipline. Discipline your character, your conduct. Chochma Musar, Lohavin, and through Chochma Musar, you will then come to a deeper level, Lohavin, to understand Imre Vina, words of Bina. So let's give a general understanding. We have over here two concepts. We have Bina and Chachma, these two things are juxtaposed. We had not long ago in Parshas, I think it was in Parshas Tevarim, where Yisro said to Moshe recalls, Havu lechem anoshim chachamim unavonim. And Rashi there gives the classic example, which almost everyone here on the page quotes. And in fact, everyone, anytime you talk about Chachma Bina, it's almost impossible to ignore the mashal. Okay, you're talking about Mishlei, so you're always going to parables that Rashi gives. And in that mashal, this many layers of depth. What's the mashal? A chacham is compared to a money changer. a navon is compared to a businessman. What's the difference between a merchant? A merchant versus a money changer. The difference is, a money changer has a stand in the market. And people come, they go to the airport, and they have all the money changers. But they have people there sometimes, and they'll exchange money for you. Yeah. So what do? So when a customer lines up to exchange money, you give him a dollar, he'll give you euros, give you Israeli currency, whatever it is. So as long as his line is busy. And what happens if there's no one online? So he's on his smartphone. He's on the internet. He's Yoshev Batel. He has nothing to do. My job is to exchange money. Some I have a customer, I'll exchange money, I'll be busy. When there are no customers, what do? I do nothing. Yoshev Batel. But you have all this money in front of you. No, it's not my money. My tafkid is to exchange, and I charge a price. I charge a price for exchanging money. An investor, okay, I forgot the exact term, when someone is primarily has a shop, he exchanges money, and when there are no customers, he takes the money and he invests it. He looks to spend the money on worthy investments. He's looking to use what he has accomplished. I've exchanged dollars for euros, so there are certain investments I only can invest a euro. I mean, today it doesn't make sense because, say, money in some way doesn't make a difference. But in the world, in ancient time, the ancient world of investments, you only can invest certain types of currencies and certain types of commodities. If you want to go buy a commodity, they're only going to take a certain type of currency. So if someone comes to me for business and he wants to exchange one type of money for another, for a dollar, for a euro, and now I have my possession US dollar bills, and I've made money, I've charged them a fee for making this exchange, but what do I have now? I've got rid of the euros, I have now dollar bills. Now I can go and purchase a commodity for which I can invest in a business which will only accept dollars. And then 5 minutes later, when someone else exchanged one currency for another currency, I'll now have money which I can go and I can invest in another venture. This is what Rashi says is nivonim, bina. You're always looking, you're seeking to go more, to take advantage of the new wisdom which you have acquired is now a new opportunity. A chacham stops. He has acquired wisdom. I've read an article. I've acquired understanding, concepts. It's in my mind. I'm going to store it. I'm going to lock it up, lock and key, and that's it. It's over. I know something. A navon takes what he knows and goes to the next step. That's called Navin Davar Mitoch Davar. That is the example Rashi in Parshas Tevarim gives, the difference between two different types of people involved with money. A mashal for Chochmah Bina. And that's really what it says over here. Das Chochmah, that's over here in this context, that it means to acquire. See, we always translate Das means knowledge. In this pasuk, Ladas seems to have a different connotation. It means to acquire. The greatest acquisition you have is knowledge. Knowledge, the word Das really means to connect. V'odom yoda eschava ishto. Adam knew his wife. So what does it mean? He connected. He was married to his wife. There was a relationship. There was a connection of the minds. When you connect with something, that is the greatest acquisition. You take in Ladas to acquire Chochmah Umusar, to acquire Chochmah wisdom, and with wisdom comes refinement of character. And when a person has Chochmah Umusar, that is the springboard. After you've acquired the basics, now that is a springboard to go further, to invest, to take your knowledge and go to the next level, Lahavin, to understand Imre words of Vina, of understanding Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. Now notice, according to this interpretation, there's something very, very profound, that a person can only come to Bina if he has the Musar. We think that we don't need to have any refinement of character in order to become, to go to the next level. That's not the way it is. Bina is no pain, no gain. Chochmah is not painful. Chochmah is you're awake, you're alert, you read an article, you've acquired Chochmah. Bina is painful. Bina requires Mavin Davar Mitoch Davar. There is mental anguish. involved in going to the next level. How does a person come to a frame of mind where he's willing to tolerate the yisurim that are necessary to come to Bina? The practice is character, because refinement of character is also very painful. Persons on a diet, to control yourself not to eat something when you very much want, it's painful. It's very painful. That practice of holding back and refining yourself is the ultimate, the Pasuk is telling us, is the ultimate practice you need in order to come, when it comes to knowledge, because in knowledge also it's painful, in order to persevere. You're very tired, it's late at night, you need to understand, you need to prepare, there's mental work that has to be done, discipline. And that all comes with pain. That pain can only be accomplished when a person does it on a physical level. The physical level of endurance will allow him to thrive in the mentally as well. But that, there are different types of tzara. There's tzara, physical tzara, and there is tzara, mental tzara, in the world of accomplishment. Ladas chacham, to acquire chacham or musar. Lahavin imrabi, let's see over here, the mitzvahs pasuk gimel, pasuk bay says, ladas to elis hadvarim, the purpose. The purpose of my sefer that I'm writing is lahodia levnei adam, to make it known to man, chokhma umusar, to make it known to man, chokhma umusar. The purpose of writing the sefer is that a person should acquire chokhma umusar, v'ochaz b'mashal, l'man hovin, and therefore he's going to present everything in a mashal, l'man hovin l'zulos, divrei bina, and he's making use of parables in order to make it understandable, to l'zulos, to someone else. Divrei bina, words of understanding. Ki hu mavo gadol liknos ha'avana. So he seems to be saying, the Mitzvah says something a little different. I'm drawing from different things that I've seen. Preparation, I get mixed up very much. But he seems to be adding words into the pasuk. Is that the mashal is what's going to give you ki hu mavo gadol. The mashal, the ochaz b'mashal. Leman havin lezulas divrei bina ki hu mavol. It is a forward. It is a means, a path. Gadol liknos havana, to understand, to acquire understanding. So seemingly the mitzvah is adding into the pasuk beis the word mashal. The purpose of my sefer, the purpose of writing these mashalim, the 800 mashalim, which are really 3,000, is ladas chachmo musar. And now you have to add the word again. And the purpose of my mashalim will also allow you, through my mashalim, you will come to understand deep knowledge. Bina mevin davar mitoch davar. That is different than what I told you originally. I told you originally is that ladas chachmo musar is a process. First you acquire chachma and musar, and then after you acquire the musar, then you can go forward, you can acquire the imre bina. He's saying, no, there are two separate things. One is not dependent upon the other. The only thing that we need to attain these things is what's called the mashal. Okay, Rashi pasuk beis, ladas chachma musar, hamishalim ha'elu. These mishalim amar lodiyah libriyos, to make known to mankind, chokhma umusar, sheyu amelim bitorah, shehi chokhma umusar obina. According to Rashi is going more off onto the medrash side, that all of these words, Torah, is synonymous with chokhma, musar, and bina. Torah is a word which means instruction, also alludes to the wisdom. The instruction is the instruction of refinement. In Chatar is Bina, a person through the Mishalim, a person will come to understand the Chachma Musar Bina. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Lokachas. Okay, there's one Medrash, this is a Medrash in the Hill. The Medrash in the Hill is a very important Medrash that says, I don't know the depth, but there's something very deep here. And the Medrash says that there are two terms, Chachma Bina. Okay, we mentioned Rashi, a money changer and an investor. Or a money changer / investor. After he does the money, does money changing, he then seeks to invest the money in business. That's bina. The medrash is a different interpretation. Chachma refers to bread, lechem. Bina is a tavshil. On Shabbos, when you sit down to a meal, Okay, we don't do this as much, but you eat bread together with the tafshil. You don't just eat a piece of meat. You don't just eat bread. You eat them together. That's the way food was in ancient times. You're always going to have a little bread together with your cooked dish. Chochna, each type of food triggers a different reaction in the mind, satisfies a different craving in the mind of a human being. Bread brings satisfaction, right? The lechem yisa levav enosh, but it's not enough. Person is not satisfied just having bread for lunch. You need a little flavor. You need a tavshil. You need a cooked dish. You need something hot. Stew, potatoes, meat, beans. And that will enhance the bread. So why don't you just have the stew? Just have your chalent. What do you have to have the bread for? You have to have bread also. Bread is the staple. It's the foundation. But you just can't have a foundation. You have to have a building. You have to have the tafshil, all of the good things that come along with it. So this is what he says over here. That's how the Medrash Tehillim says the difference between Chochma and Bina. Chochma is bread. It's where it all starts. Bina is the tafshil. You must have both. You could have one without the other. You see, this is where I think this Medrash is a lot different than the classic translation of Chochma and Bina. Most people, when they say Chochma and Bina, you get a feeling that Chochma is you can't have Bina unless you have Chochma. That's the impression I always got. Right? Chaneinu Midcha, Dea Bina V'Haskel. First, they don't say Chochma, Bina V'Haskel, different versions, Sfar and Ashkenaz. You can't have Bina unless you have Chochma. You have to have one. It goes right. You can't go up the second step unless you have the first step. The Medrash says that's not so. Bina is a tavshil. Who's stopping you? No one's stopping you and going to the pot and having a cholent. It's a different type of chokhmah. It's pilpul. You mafalpul one thing to the other. Chokhmah is bread. No one's stopping you from having bread without a tavshil. No one's stopping you from having a tavshil without bread. But having them together, that's what brings true satisfaction. This is the interpretation of the Medrash. A whole different mahalach. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk gimel lakachas musar haskel. Now the purpose of my sefer is to acquire musar haskel. Haskel is wisdom. Okay, another word to add to our vocabulary. Seichel is wisdom, but here the word seichel is connected to the word musa. So the word musa is appearing now for the second time. Okay, we'll come to it in a moment. Furthermore, tzedek, through my sefer, through the mashalom of my sefer, you're going to acquire tzedek, the mida of tzedakah, lefnei mishur sadin, mishpat. Mishpat is justice. Umei sharim, which according to Rashi, we'll see the word means a balance. Meshur means fairness. And in this context, it means a balance between tzedakah and mishpat. If the world will live with mishpat, the world will be destroyed. Amidas Adin, the world cannot exist with Amidas Adin. You can't be exact. Yes, so what do we need? We need tzedakah. A person has to be generous. But if the world is tzedakah, then there's no right, there's no wrong. There has to be balance. Meisharim is the balance between tzedek and mishpat. Okay, let's see Rashi. Let's see the Mesuz Pasuk Gimel. Lakachas lil moed musa mitaychom, to take from these things that we've studied, Musar, Tzedek Yavodas Falakim. So he's teaching over here is Ben Adam, the Mitzudos is learning a little bit different than Rashi, we'll see in a moment. But he says Tzedek here is Avodas Falakim. It matters between Nein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishpat Ma Shebein Adam L'Chavero, U'Meisharim, B'Dvar Hamidois V'Hanhogas Adam. Okay, a whole different interpretation. Like, it's like a gra. So many different interpretations, three different terms. Terms Tzedek Adam L'Mokoyim, Adam lachavero, and then Adam leatzmo, between man and himself. Every person has to make peace. You have to make peace with three different parts of this world: Hashem, your friend, and you have to make peace with yourself. Someone told me about doing. We're now in the union of slichu mechila. Someone, I think someone here told this. I don't remember. He read a Pesim, one of the Gedele Yisrael is that, oh, I remember, he's not here now. On Rosh, during the Yimei El and the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, a person has to be Mevakesh Mechila. Who are you Mevakesh Mechila from? So everyone says, yes, child in Yeshiva, there are two people you ask Mechila from. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam L'Makam, Adam L'Chavera. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to forgive you until you Meratza Adam and Adam L'Chavera. So he told me, no, you're making, he tried to show me sources. He told me this a while ago. He tried to show me sources. There's a third part of Mechila. You have to forgive yourself. There's three parts to Mechila. And you have to find the makaris for this concept, because people, they live, a real Baal Tshuva, he may be able to accomplish, a real deep thinker. You realize your mistakes. You ask Hashem forgiveness. Yes, your friend. Yes, but you live. You're hard on yourself. You're not the same person psychologically. Going through a real process of tshuva can ruin a person. You can come to a depression. It's not a clinical depression. It's not a depression which will be noticeable, but you just are not happy with yourself. You have to learn to forgive yourself as well. Three different parts. Here, he's not discussing that in reference to Mechilu Slich, which is a reference to how a person has to live. You have to live. Be good. Adam LaMokim, Adam LaChavero, Neisharim. You have to be good between yourself as well. Last week's Haftar, there's a very beautiful Vart. It's a little bit different, but V'chol Bon, it's Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, Shenemar V'chol Bonayich Lemudei Hashem V'Rav Shalom Bonayich. That was the post that was read in last week's Haftar. Very short. Last week was a bonus. If you remember of a Kiddush club, last week was not a good week. Was not a good week to be a member of a Kiddush club, because you don't have much time to make Kiddush during the very short half Torah. So this Chazal, V'chol Banaych L'mudei Hashem V'Rav Shalomnech, appears at the end of four Mesechtas. Any Baki and Shas, there are four of the four Mesechtas: Mesechta Brachos, Mesechta Brachos, Mesechta Nozir, Mesechta Krisos, and Mesechta I'm forgetting already. Alright, I'll come to you in a moment. I'll work backwards. Come to you in a moment. The four Mesechtas. Why did Chazal specifically focus on this Maim Chazal at the end of these four Mesechtas? So this just takes the idea that I mentioned again and expands a little bit more. A person has, there are four relationships a person has in this world where he needs peace. Mesech de Brachos is Ben Adam Lamokim. Mesech de Nazir is Ben Adam Liishtoi, man and his wife. Haroya, maybe it was Nida, I don't remember it after, I'm forgetting it. Haroya and Soita Bikokula Yazir Atzmai Min Hayayin. The person becomes a Nazir when he sees what happens through when a relationship between man and woman, man and wife, go sour. So again, brachos, Adam, lamokim, peace. V'rav chol b'nach l'mudiyash, v'rav shalom, Adam lamokim. Nazir, a result of a sour relation, man and wife. Shalom in Adam l'ishtai. The next is Adam l'chaveroi. Which mesecht is that? I don't remember this moment. Is mesecht to Adam, what?
Maybe
no, I don't think it's Chris. No, that's coming in a moment. I've got maybe we'll come back in a moment. There's a third one which represents the idea of Adam, yeah. Adam Lach. Maybe it's one of them in the Zokin. No, not one. I don't remember. I don't remember this moment. I'll have to look it up. But Adam Lachaveroi is that Mesechta. And the last Mesechta is Mesechta Kresos. Why Kresos? Adam La'atzma. A person does an Avera, he cuts himself off from the next world. He's cut himself off. He has to make peace with himself, that his neshama should not be cut off from the neshama has to have menucha. If the neshama is cut off, the neshama, Karis deals with the neshama. It's not dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not dealing with his wife, it's not dealing with his friend, it's dealing with his own neshama. So there has to be in life four different madrigals of peace. Adam la'makam, Adam la'chaveroi, bin Adam li'ishtoi, and Adam le'atzmo. And that's what the Mitzudas, to some degree here, says, Tzedek Adam la'makam, Mishpat Adam chaveroi, Meshom in Adam la'atzmo. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi says, and by the way, what does it mean over here? What does it mean over here? Musar Haskel. Musar Haskel means through doing what all of the things that a person has done, he has learned, he has acquired. It's a continuation, a pasuk base. After acquiring Chochmah, after acquiring Musar, after understanding Bina, now you can come to the Madrega of Seichel. Now you'll come to the Madrega with the highest Madrega, what he calls Seichel. A new term. That's similar to what the Mitzvah says. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Tzedek, Mishpat, Mishram, Tzedek, Tzedakah, Minimoinai. This is what I told you originally. Tzedek means giving, being gracious. Mishpat, Lishpat, Emes. Justice, court of law. Mesharim, Hi Hafshara. Okay, that's a very big topic in this week's parasha. It's pshara, is compromise. But here it means you have shara derech chelek to cut a way that cuts down the center. Umeshar uprightness shove lezeh ulezeh, balance. Okay, these are just fancy words which mean the balance between all of these things. Now I saw another varia. Maybe I saw this. I think I saw this in Rabbi Ginsberg, Blazer Ginsberg, in the Art Scroll. He says, "What's going on here, Pasuk Gimel? Lakachas musar haskel verse. What it says in Pasuk Beis, musar ladas chokma umusar. So his question is, what is the difference between musar and Musar Haskel? Seemingly they're the same. What's the difference? Musar is Musar. So the Mitzvah says, Sudha seems to say that Musar is not the primary word. The primary word is Haskel. And Musar somehow is just, I don't know, it doesn't really explain how Musar got there. Through the Chochmah and the Bina, you'll come to Seichel. You'll come for higher Madrega. What's the Musar? It doesn't really explain. Rashi certainly doesn't explain. But he quotes, I don't remember who he quotes, maybe it's a Medrash, maybe it's, I think it's Rabbeinu Bachi, if I'm not mistaken. I'm all mixed up, but he explains that. He ties it into Birchas Rosh Chodesh. On Birchas Rosh Chodesh, we pray for two different types of Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Ha'oinesh and Yiras Haroimimus. Or, we're now holding in the Yomim Neroim. Our primary fear should not be fear of punishment. Our primary fear should be the Roimus, the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mimela, that will encompass all of the types of fear. So he says, what is Musar? Musar means restraint. Refinement. Why does a person restrain himself? So similarly, if I don't hold myself back, I'll become obese. I'll become sick. If I'll give in to my taivos, who knows what will become of me? I'll become an animal. So I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll look like a monkey in the zoo. So that's why, for my own benefit, it's for my own good, it's for my own health. That's why I'm going to refine myself. That's Musa. But then a person reaches a higher level where you're not refining yourself because I want to feel good, I want to look good, I want to look like a celebrity, I want to look thin, I want to look good, I want to be healthy, I want to live. It's the right thing to do. It's a refinement of my neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this world to be a good person. Forget about what my doctor will tell me. It's just to be a refined person for the sake of refinement, not for any ulterior motive. That's Musar Haskel. Haskel means wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Understanding of, that's what a person is. A person is not an animal. An animal acts on instinct. A person is meant to be above his instincts, above his animalistic drives. Musar, restraint, refinement, but it's Haskel for its own worth, not because just Musar. If you don't control yourself, you can have a heart attack. You better take care of yourself. You're going to be in the hospital. All these scary commercials they have on the radio, on the buses, all these crazy things. They're trying, you know, it's like, yeah, listen to the radio, you can lose your mind. Listening to all the advertisements of all the different types of diseases and all these different things. That's, I listen. So these are the two different. I think this is a very beautiful idea. These two, very being of Sefer Mishlei, to understand the difference between Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel. Everything here is a process. There's Chochmah, there's Musar, there's Bina, and then you come to Lokachas Musar Haskel. a very high level of refinement, and then you'll come to midos of tzedek, mishpat meisham, adam la'makom, adam chaveray, adam la'atzmai, or to be gracious, to have mishpat, a sense of mishpat, and to have the most important thing in life is a sense of balance. The secret to life success is to know how to balance all the contradictory midos and things that we come in contact with. Yeah.
That's, in other words, it brings out that point a little bit about, you know, you have to be careful how far you're willing to go for yourself, because you back yourself into a corner.
Right.
And then you can't forgive yourself.
You can't forgive yourself.
Right.
Alti tzadik harbe. Right. Okay.
So be careful
how far you go. Okay, so this is Rashi. Okay, so up the pasuk, we'll start with up the pasuk Dalid. Okay, we'll stop. We have not yet even finished the Hakdama. We have to get the pasuk Zion to finish the Hakdama. Okay, we'll stop here.